Hello, my name is Edgar King, and I am the lead pastor of Trinity Vineyard Church in Nakuru. I am so grateful that you are tuning into our podcast today. Head over to our Facebook page and see some of the information that you may need if you're in Nakuru and you'd like to join us. Nonetheless, we will still be online for those who are unable to join us in person. Thank you very much. I hope this installation of talks today will be a blessing to you.
Lord, we say yes. We say yes to what you see in us. We say yes to you calling us new creation. We say yes to the change you've made in us, and we won't go back. Our hearts are full of gratitude, Lord. Yeah, God is inviting us to a place of gratitude. And sometimes we're too blinded by everything else that's going on. We don't get time to just say thank you. So Lord, we come as a community to say thank you. Thank you for who you've made us to be. Thank you for your Son and who he's made us to be. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Hey, good morning again. Yeah, oh, yes, it is still morning. My name is Edgar King. If you just joined the stream, or if you just came in during our song part, our song part of worship, and I'm the lead pastor, and Karibu Sana, we love that you're here. If you're a parent and you have kids between the ages 6 to 12, they're leaving right now to go have kids' church first Sunday this year. And next week, we are signing up volunteers who'd like to work with kids. So this is the third Sunday of Lent. And what is Lent? You know, it's not a... In some of our church traditions, it's not something we celebrate often. And so I find it important to keep reminding us what Lent is. Lent is a 40-day period starting with Ash Wednesday, leading up to Easter. We take this moment to reflect, ponder on, and retell the story of the journey of Jesus towards the cross. And his sacrifice, his suffering, his obedience, even to death on the cross. And the death and resurrection of Jesus is the most centerpiece, is a centerpiece of our faith. Without the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have nothing else. And for generations of the church's life, the Church of Jesus Christ, Easter and the season of Lent used to be the focus, not Christmas. We make a big deal about Christmas. Guess what? For generations of the beginning of the church, it used to be Easter and Lent. Why? Because the death and resurrection of Jesus is a centerpiece of our faith. It changed the world. It changed history as we know it. But not only did it change history, it changed you, it changed me, it changed everyone who believes in Jesus. And so, how Lent is usually observed, it's observed as a season of repentance. And I've often said from this stage that repentance is not about, oh, just saying, oh, I'm sorry I did this. It's about changing how you think about things and making a complete turn in your life. It's got to start with change how you think about these things. And repentance was not private or internal. Because a lot of times we just go, you know, lock ourselves in our bedroom and say, oh yeah, I've repented. And that's cool. But he realized repentance was changing your mind and turning around. So it cannot be private. People will see repentance. And how people used to represent repentance during the season of Lent, starting with Ash Wednesday, is that they would have ash on their foreheads. Why? Because the life we're invited to cannot be private. Lent is a season we don't celebrate it privately. After all, our faith was never meant to be private. It was not a bedroom kind of faith. So, this is the third Sunday of Lent. Sorry, I am a bit lost. I will collect myself. But it's good to see you guys. So that's not fair. I tell a lot of jokes from stage and y'all don't laugh. And the one day I'm lost on stage, it's very funny. Okay. Anyway, so my soul is catching up with me. So the reason I say repentance cannot be private is because we cannot live a life of repentance and it doesn't bear fruit. And a tree can't bear fruit that people don't see. Or, well, then what is it for? Right? We cannot live a life of repentance. We cannot say we've repented and that doesn't bear fruit. This change has to be reflected in our lifestyle. It has to impact how we talk to our spouses, our kids, the people who work for us, the people who work with us. This is what true repentance is. And so in this series, this year's Lent, we've been focusing on the fact that you are changed. I am changed. The death and resurrection of Jesus changed us. For those who believe in Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus changed us. There's a guy called Paul, and we read a lot from him if you read the New Testament. And we're going to be reading a lot from him today. Now, Paul was a wonderful church planter. He was an apostle, and he planted a lot of churches a lot of the early church. And he wrote letters to encourage them, to correct them, and they ended up making our New Testament. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, so he's made an argument about how God has changed us and says, because of the argument I've made above, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are new creation. New creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. So let's just pause there for a second. Anything you thought you were, Paul says, that's gone. Anything the enemy wants to remind you, Paul is saying, no, that's gone. And I know that sometimes we look into the mirror and we still see a vision of that. And Paul is saying, no, actually, this is what God sees when he looks at you. He sees new creation. Okay, here's a bit of good news. Jesus came, the death and resurrection of Jesus is going to make everything right. He was going to make new creation. God is changing all of creation and he decided to start with you. I think that's good news. Even earth will be changed. The whole cosmos will be changed. Everything God created was broken because of the fall, and God is making everything new, and he saw it fit to start with you. You are new creation. You are the beginning of the recreative work of Jesus Christ. That's kind of cool. And for Paul, this is personal, because when we first meet Paul, he goes by a different name, Saul, and he has a different way of thinking about God that makes him believe differently about God. And so he begins to arrest, torture, and even murder those who believe in Jesus. The first time we hear about Paul, when he was still going by a different name, he was overseeing the stoning of a believer of Jesus. Then the next thing we see, he is running into a different city to actually arrest and imprison those who believe in Jesus. Paul thought differently about God. And this produced a certain belief in him about God. And this produced a certain action in him. What we think, you see, impacts how we live. I've often said here, what you think about God will impact how you think about you, about the people, about yourself, about the people around you, and about this world. So it's that important. What Paul thought about God made him live his life like he did. True faith in anything bears fruit. True faith in anything bears fruit. So the real question shouldn't be, what do you believe? The real question is, what do the fruits of your life say you believe? You could say till kingdom come that you believe one thing, but if your fruit is in a different direction, that's exactly what you believe. And you can see this in Paul's life. You can see this in Paul's life. He thought something about God, and it made him believe something about God, and it made him act in a certain way. So this is why Jesus kept making this call, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What this meant was, change how you think about these things, believe it. Change how you think about these things, and it will make you turn around, and then believe it. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. He was saying that God is so close. Because it has to start with what we think. So today I want to focus on something else that Jesus has changed in us, and that's our mind. We have changed minds. Now that we're a new creation, now that we everything about us has been changed, also our minds have been changed. Also how we think, our mind patterns, our thought patterns have been changed. The way we think about God and the world and everything else has been changed. Let's pray. Lord, come and speak to us. I pray that everyone hearing my voice will just find your voice in it. If there's anything else I say that isn't yours, let it just fall to the ground. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us as a community and to each individual, both here and at home. Amen. Jesus' main message was repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The reign of God has come, you know? And I keep saying, and I'll say it a lot today, what this meant was change how you think about these things, because that will make you turn around and it will create faith. Why do you need to do that? Because God is close to you. And you know, this was the very reason, because we are journeying towards Lent, this was the very reason Jesus was murdered. Let me paint this picture. The children of Israel, the context in which Jesus ministered, were under colonial rule of Rome. So they were politically oppressed, they were economically oppressed, they were spiritually oppressed, and so they awaited the anointed one, the one called Christ, to come and save them, to deliver them, someone who would be a descendant of David. For many of them, this would be a militaristic kingdom that will lead them through a liberation war, kind of the one Kenya had against the British to gain self-rule. They believed that the Messiah would bring them self-rule and establish the kingdom of Israel again. For others, this was true, but it also had an added thing that this Messiah wouldn't just be an ordinary person. He would be God's most chosen person. He would be God's own son. So it was special. So this caused for Jesus both political and religious problems, if you think about it. You see, religious leaders killed him because his message of the kingdom of God was freeing people from their religious oppression. It was shaking the power structures that they sat on. And it's no surprise that sometimes people with the jobs like mine, pastors and church leaders, sometimes want to bring that back, because the real message of the kingdom of God brings freedom even from religious oppression. So they didn't like Jesus for that reason. Political powers of Rome did not like Jesus, because if Jesus was saying a different king had come and he was the king, he was saying that Caesar is not king. One, this would have likely caused political upheavals and riots in an already unstable part of their colony. So they didn't like Jesus for that reason. At the very least, it would have meant that some people would stop paying taxes, and that's dangerous. If you touch someone's money, you've touched them. So political powers did not like Jesus. This is why they crucified him. Demonic powers did not like Jesus, because every time Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, what it meant is that the time for demonic oppression was over. And you see all through the stories of Jesus, if there was someone who was oppressed by demonic powers, the demons would recognize Jesus immediately. They would go, "What do you want from us?" Because everywhere Jesus went, the kingdom of God was present, and he declared that the kingdom of God is here. And this is why the powers of darkness wanted him dead. The very message of Jesus was the reason he was killed. So as Jesus journeys towards the cross, which is what we are pondering on and reflecting on through this season of Lent, there is a build-up of resistance to him, and it reaches its crescendo at the cross. There's a build-up of resistance to him from both political dark powers and religious powers. Why? Because of his one message. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. And this is the same invitation that Jesus makes to us today. Repent and believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. Change how you think about these things. Because what you think will determine what you believe, and what you believe will determine what you do. So if you think God is far, you will believe that God is far, and you will live as if God is far. And so Jesus kept saying, actually, God is here with us, so change how you think. Stop believing that he is right here. This is our reality, that the kingdom of God is here. And it will change how you live. And how you live will determine that your life is, you're living as a changed person, as a new creation. You see, God started with the end goal. God looks at us this morning and he sees new creation. He's already seeing the work of Jesus complete because it was complete at the cross. He looks at you and he sees new creation. And for us to step into the reality that God sees in us, we have to start by repenting, changing how we think, changing our minds about these things. And believing, because that will change how we live. So I'm inviting you to the reality that Jesus' death and resurrection has completed everything. This was the completion of God's kingdom come at the cross. And it's such a, oh wow, it's amazing the scripture that Joy read this morning. That it looks like foolishness. Because at the cross, this was Jesus becoming king. So if you tell people that, it looks like foolishness. But this was it. He was raised there. It's like his coronation. And he said, this is done. It's done. You're changed. If you believe in me, you're changed. And so he's inviting us to repent and believe and step into that reality. And the words, the kingdom of God is at hand, means that God is so close you can touch him. Humor me today. Why don't you just stretch your hand like this, wherever you are? That's how close God is. That's what Jesus kept saying. Thank you. You guys are a great sport this morning. So Jesus was saying that if you reach out, that's how close God is. That's how he wants us to think. He's asking us, change your mind. God isn't far. God is this close. And if you believe that, it will change how you live. And I think this is still the most important message 2,000 years after Jesus walked the earth. Why? Because human beings still need freedom from the same things. Human beings still need freedom from sin. We still need freedom from that. And spiritual oppression. A few weeks ago, there was a story that just broke my heart of Ravi Zacharias and how he had fallen into sin. And I think I'm still grieving and just trying to make sense out of that. Yet it tells us that even people we respect still need God's freedom from sin. That's why Jesus' message is still relevant today. Repent and believe. Why God is that close. Freedom from demonic oppression. The last few weeks, I have seen people getting freed from demonic oppression. And it's been awesome. It literally changes their faces. They look different. You're going, what? So different that I barely recognized one of them when I saw them again. I was like, whoa. I was like, is that so-and-so? They look different. This is why people still need to hear the message of the kingdom. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Because people are still under demonic oppression. Just like 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked this earth, people are still under political and economic oppression. You will not watch KTN or NTV without hearing just a lot. I held myself back from using a word I probably shouldn't use on stage. Without hearing just a lot of stuff about constitutional change. It's all politics. And you can't help but realize just how much greed is on the driver's seat. Well, maybe you're a person of many worlds, and so you switch to Fox News or CNN. It's crazy out there, bedlam. Okay, maybe you decide, okay, let me watch a bit of BBC. It's crazy. Why? Because even now, people are still under political and economic oppression, and COVID-19 didn't do people any favors. That's why people still need to hear the message, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. People still need freedom from religious oppression. I try not to check my Facebook on Sunday morning as I'm going through my talk and praying. But you know, we're all fighting this crazy addiction to social media. I'm a recovering addict. And so I checked this morning, and KTN had a news piece, yep, at some point, it said 9 hours ago then, about religious leaders fleecing the faithful. Well, that's not news stories. People are still under religious oppression. People still need the same freedom. So Jesus' invitation is the same. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Humanity still needs to hear this message because we still need our Messiah. We still need the Christ every day. Sad truth is, the fruit of how people are living tells you that people really believe God is so far from them. Just like some people in Israel believed. They believed that God had abandoned them. God had abandoned Israel. And they were, could it really be true what this man from Galilee keeps saying? So they followed him because it was so desperate. It was a desperate time. And to this day, some people and many in our generation believe that God has abandoned us. In January, I sat next to someone for a function, and they said, Pastor. And every time they call you that, yeah, it's one of those questions. So I was like, okay, let's hear this. Why doesn't God do the same things he used to do? What she was saying is that God doesn't heal anymore. God doesn't care anymore. God doesn't save us from sin anymore. God doesn't change us anymore. Why doesn't God move like he used to? This is the mindset people have, that God is that far. So the message of Jesus is relevant. Repent and believe that God is within your reach. Sadly, even more, there are people who actually believe that God isn't there at all. They've looked at the world in the wisdom of their eyes and decided, I don't think there's anyone or anything like God, because how could this be if that is so? That's why the message of the kingdom is relevant. Change your mind, change how you think about these things. Because then, because we were made for worship, they will worship something. We will worship something. If we don't realize that God is close, we will worship something else. See, the reason in the church and outside the church, people don't want to talk about sin, or we go, well, let's not call it that. It's because we don't think God cares anymore. We don't think God is that close. Because if he's close, then there is a healthy fear of God. We don't want that. So the idea of not talking about sin, the idea of redefining sin tells you that that's the fruit of our life. It tells you what we believe, and it therefore tells you what we think about God. We think God is very far. So what would Jesus' response to this be? Repent and believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. Change how you think about these, about how close God is, and let it change how you act. So how would you act if every day you remember that that's just how close God is? See, people are suffering under the weight of depression and anxiety because they really think that God has abandoned them, that God doesn't care. Your bills are ready. Kids need to go to school. Business is down. Does God even care? So we pile it up all on ourselves because God must be very far. What is Jesus' response to that? Repent and believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your mind. Change how you think about these things. Change how you think about how close God is, and let it change how you act. So how would you act about your worry? How would you act about the things that are squeezing life out of your soul if every day this week you remember that that's how far God is? I should have used near. It helps. Okay. This is how near God is to you. How would it change how you live? Jesus changed all of that. In him, God is that close. In Jesus, everything is changed. That's my invitation this Lent. As you step into another week of Lent, change how you think about how close God is. Change your mind. He's not that far. And what will that do about how you live? If you're just about to serve someone, if you're at your place of business, if you remember that God is sitting right next to you, what will it do about how you do that business? If you just woke up next to your spouse, and you remember that God is right next to you, what would it change about how you respond to him or her? Change your mind. God is changing the world, and he has started with you. He's making all things new, and he started by making us new creation. So where have you believed that God is far from you? What are the patterns of your thinking? What are the patterns of your mind that God is calling you to repent of? So it's easy for people to go, oh, Lent is such an old thing. Like, don't we have a lot to repent about? What is God inviting you to change your mind about? How close he is. And how do you identify those patterns of mind that you need to change? Look at the fruit that your life is bearing. If there's a patience issue, then God is inviting you to change how you think about how close he is in that area of your life. What fruit is the life you're living saying about your faith? And what is your faith saying about how you think about God? So where do we start with changing our mind? How do we even do that? By being intentional about the things we put our mind on. So Paul, again, writes to this church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 3:2-10, and he says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Why? For you died, and your life is now hidden with God with Christ and God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Like, when Christ appears, you will appear as changed as you are. So be careful what you put your minds on. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, like, every time we put our minds on these things, we are worshiping something else. It says that we don't believe that God is that close. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. That was your before you, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. He is saying, hey, because you are saved, because you've put your faith in Jesus, that means the old is gone and the new has come. What this calls from you is a deliberate choice of what you place your mind on. It's a deliberate choice to change your mind. Change how you think about these things. Repent. It's not that sex is not good. It's actually something God created, right? But in a world that says all sex is fair game, how will you think about these things? It's not that our desires are bad, but in a world that says just indulge yourself because it harms no one, how will you think differently about these things? Because sadly, we've indulged in our desires at the expense of our soul, and we all know that has a way of leaking out. You thought it didn't harm anyone, but it has a way of leaking out. Just ask so many kids who are in therapy. Because a broken parent leaked out. And listen, we will all be the best we can for our family, right? But what if there was a place God invited us to repent and we didn't? It's not that owning the newest stuff is wrong. But in a world that is making idols out of owning stuff, how will you think differently about these things? If we think God is near, how does that impact how we live our life? And before you go, okay, this is unattainable. How could anyone live like that? How do you remain sexually pure despite the kind of culture we live in? How do you not feed your desires in a world that marketing is God? How do you become different when your competitors don't even care? So why not give in to greed yourself? How does anyone do that? How do you beat anxiety when dark and negative thoughts just bombard you every time the lights go out? How do you even do that? Before you go that this is unattainable, my friends, this is where discipleship comes in. This is what it means to follow Jesus. The cornerstone scripture of this series has been 2 Corinthians 3, 17 to 18. It says, now the Lord, I'm referring to the Holy Spirit, and wherever He is Lord, there is freedom. We can draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces, and with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are being transfigured, we are being transformed, we are being changed into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration, transformation, change comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This is what discipleship is about. It's about taking a step each day towards what God is inviting us to. Discipleship is about obeying daily over and over again, obeying the Holy Spirit over and over again. We give into the daily, not the once in a season obedience. When were you kind? Well, last month I was kind. That checks out. No, it's a daily beating of our flesh. It's a daily obedience. It's a daily saying, come Holy Spirit, and a daily saying, yes. That's how we do this. It happens as we learn to practice the presence of God. Come Holy Spirit. God, what are you doing today? God, how should I respond in this situation? To obey when He calls us to pray for people instead of giving in to fear. To obey when He calls us to believe instead of giving in to doubt. It's not that they won't be there. To obey when he says, trust me, instead of giving into our efforts and think we'll make things turn around. To obey when he says, say no to our flesh and turn away from sin. See, when we say that the Holy Spirit is Lord, we are saying that nothing else will be Lord over us. We're saying that our desires will not be Lord. We're saying that our fear will not be Lord. We're saying that our lust will not be Lord. We're saying that our culture will not be Lord. We're saying that our politics will not be Lord. When we say that the Holy Spirit is Lord, we are dethroning everything else. Every day. Not that these things will not be there, but it's choosing to obey Jesus over them. This is how transformation happens. Lastly, I want us to think about what Paul said, looking at a different letter he wrote, just a portion of a different letter he wrote to a church in a different city. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about these things. Paul is finishing his letter, and I'm also finishing my talk today, so I'm going to invite the band back on stage. I feel like Paul for this, just that one moment. I think. So if you want, listen, what you think about God determines what you believe about God. What you believe about God determines how you do. What you think determines how you do. What you think determines how you act. So if you want to take charge of how you think, if you want to have your mind changed, just as God is already seeing it changed, take it through the sieve Paul is giving us. Slow down long enough. In a busy and rushed world, Jesus is inviting us to slow down long enough to ask, is it true? What you heard about someone, what you heard about yourself, is it true? Then if it's not true, don't think about it. You know, Joy last week was telling us, hey, sometimes we see things, we tell ourselves things, I'm not good enough, I'm not bold enough, I'm not this, I'm not, is it true? If it's not true, if it's not what God is saying, stop thinking about it. Well, that might be hard. Just in that moment, surrender it to Jesus. Is it noble? Is it right? Is it lovely? Even if you heard it from your favorite news network, even if you heard it from your favorite politician, your favorite comic, it might be juicy gossip, but is it noble? Is it right? Is it lovely? If it is not, stop thinking about it. It might come into your mind again tomorrow. You do the same thing over and over again. You surrender it to the Holy Spirit. Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it worthy of? Can you take this and present it to the people who love you and speak into your life? Can you just say, behold my thoughts? Oh, those loves say a lot. Well, no, and listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't be human. Because, okay, I'm not going to go there. So how do you do this? There's an old saying that the eyes are the window to the soul. And people have used this to say, if you just look someone in the eye too long, you will see who they are. Well, so that's why you hear a lot of stuff like something one of the U.S. presidents said about a president they don't like. It's like, I looked into his eyes and I saw his soul. Did you? If that were, it would be cool if that were true because, I mean, I say a lot about people, but if that were true, we'd have fewer broken marriages. Why? Because people when they're dating, they spend forever looking into each other's eyes. Right? It's like, Okay. If you're watching them across from a restaurant, you think, are they playing that game? Who's going to blink first? They just, oh my. You know, if that were true, we'd have less bad hires because during interviews, we look people straight in the eye. Then they still do us dirty. I like how Jesus said it more in Matthew 6:22. The eyes are a lamp to the whole body. And if the eyes are healthy, so will the whole body be. And I just want to say our senses, what you're hearing, what you're spending your eye time on, that's feeding your soul. So if it is not light, it's only darkness. So if you want to control your mind, if you want to have your mind changed every day, as Jesus brings out who God sees in us, you will have to take control of what you spend your time watching, reading, listening to. I want to tweak what Paul said and say, hey, put your mind on these things. Therefore, take care about what you watch, about what you listen. I'm not saying let's become hermits. Let's not leave our houses. Let's not buy television. No, it's about how much time are we spending on truth. Because if you spend the whole week watching KTN, that's what's forming you. Because we have just 1.5 hours together. So if this is the only time you hear God's word, this isn't forming you as much as your Instagram is, as your news cycles are. And bad news sells. That's why people are depressed. Why? Because that's what's forming our lives. If you spend the whole time listening to stuff that corrupts who you are, that's the fruit you will produce. That's the fruit we will produce. So actually, Paul is saying, pay attention, because your eyes are the window to your body, are the lamp to your body. And if the lamp is out, your body is full of darkness. Your being will be full of darkness if we spend time everywhere else but with Jesus, but with light, but with the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter how powerful worship sessions are in this gathering. It doesn't matter. How many times have we been before the presence of God and He's slain us and He's broken our hearts and we've gone out and it hasn't changed how we live? It's not about when we cry, we're broken, we think, yes, that makes sense. It's when we let God's word form us Monday, Tuesday. It's when we let our eyes focus on what is good, what is pure, what is right, what is admirable, what is presentable, what is true. So, as you step into this week of Lent, please stand as come to finish. Jesus' invitation is the same. Repent and believe the kingdom of God is at hand. Change how you think about how close God is. And if you change how you think about how close God is, how will that make you live your life? If God is close to you, what patterns of sin is He calling out? What patterns of thought is He asking you to change? What patterns of defeatism? What patterns of feeling that God doesn't care is He saying, stop that? So as the band just sings shortly, I'm inviting you to respond. That could be singing along. That could be just receiving what God is doing. But I invite you to respond. That I come shortly and allow us to leave. If you need prayer, I'll be at the back and ready to pray with anyone who needs anything. And if you're online, please write to us and we'd love to pray with you.